The World Champion Dodgers have some World Champion podcasts. Don't miss a chance to catch up on Dodger Talk by podcasting it on the iHeartRadio app. Just search Dodger Talk for new episodes every weekday and after each game.
Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney King.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney King.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, before we get started, do me a favor. Just do me a favor.
Talk to me. You know I got you.
Okay. Listen. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Listen. Listen carefully.
I'm listening.
All right. You know what you should be hearing?
What's that?
The call of the high seas. You want to know why?
Why?
Every day, we move a step closer to the first annual AM 570 LA Sports Fishing Tournament.
Did you get some news that I don't know about, Fred? Did you get an update I don't know about?
I want to say this, that we've made contact with a venue. That's all I can say. We are now in communication in trying to set up the location. We've talked to the people.
You're in communique.
A representative, one of our people, is in communique with the possible location of the first ever AM 570 LA Sports fishing tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you don't know about it, I'll just lay it out for you. Someone had a brilliant idea to do something different. Don't look at me that way, Kevin. I applaud this individual. Let's get our listeners together. Let's go fishing and have a fishing tournament like the Bassmasters Pro. And we'll give
somebody
away
trophy. Somebody thought outside the box, is what you're saying, Fred?
That's right. Somebody at this station thought outside the box.
And I love it.
Yes, Rodney, we're getting closer. That doesn't mean it's tomorrow or next week. But I want everyone on alert. You better start cleaning off your bait and tackle. You better put your hands on your rod and get ready to reel, because we're going to go fishing and we're going to give away a trophy for, I'm not sure what, the most fish or the biggest fish. We're still working on that.
Love it.
If we have to pay for the fish in a certain location, we're certainly not going to give it away for the most fish. You catch one fish, that's it. But if we don't have to, then it will be the most fish or the biggest fish, but it's coming. I want everyone to be ready. I'm serious. When we say we're going, that's it. You got to register. You got to sign up, and we're doing it. So everybody get ready for the fishing tournament. All right?
I love it.
You're going?
Oh, I'm in.
And can I say
this? I love the fish.
I want to say this. Once we suggested this, I'm not going to name any names, but there are other people at this radio station that said, I want to be involved in that. We want to be involved in that.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what I say?
What do you say?
No. No.
No?
The fishing tournament is ours.
Oh, you mean other shows on our network of iHeart and AM 570 wanted to be a part of it.
I'm not saying who it was. I'm just saying this is our fishing tournament for our listeners and our family.
Nobody's coming in to hijack it.
No. No.
We ain't having it, Fred.
That's right. You know what else we're going to give away at the fishing tournament?
What?
Fishing hats. You get one of those.
Our logo on it?
Yeah, with one of those hats with the real long bill, like a fisherman's hat. We're giving those away, too.
I love it. I like those fisherman hats, that, you know, the round fisherman hats that have all the hooks on it.
Well,
what I was thinking, like a bucket.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, like a bucket. Yeah.
You want that instead?
Yeah,
when I think
you don't want
fishing
that long,
hat,
crazy bill.
Yeah, Rodney, when I think fishing hat, that's the first that pops in my mind.
Exactly.
Well, we can get
that. The long bill. I don't know.
Just borrow one of the Bricks bucket hats and put a bunch of hooks roaring, in it. You're good.
Yeah. Roaring 20s. That's a long bill. Huck Finn.
Anyway, it's coming. Everybody be ready. Everybody get ready for the fishing tournament. It is going to happen this year. And it's going to be the biggest thing this radio station
has ever done. Wait. Now you're throwing it out there. It's going to happen this year?
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Because if I remember right on our conference Zoom call, that it was in the works and we would need some time to kind of put it all together. And you're saying this year.
Yes, it's going to happen this year. Absolutely. How much time do we need?
2021.
That's right. We're going to do it.
There's just a few logistics that you got to work out, Fred. How hard can it be?
Well, we've got one of the major logistics about worked out. Kevin told me this morning.
What time? Well, no, I didn't tell you anything. Yeah, you pick it up. No.
Roll him under the bus.
All I said is that we are in negotiations with the location. Rodney, that is literally it. Not a cent or a second or a word more than that. We're in communications with a venue, and things have to be worked out. I believe that is the extent of what I said.
The most important part of that is we are in communication. We are talking to somebody as we speak. We're going to get this thing ironed out. This is a priority. Rodney, you were on that call.
Yes.
This is a priority.
Yes.
It will get done for sure.
Kevin and I heard different things on that call. It's all part of interpretation and translation. And Fred, you interpreted certain things a certain way, just like what you just thought you heard from Kevin when all he was saying it is, you know, we're hoping to move in the right direction. You took it that it's happening next summer or this summer.
It's happening, and everybody get ready. Okay, you're warned. When we get closer again, we'll tell you more, and then you got to sign up immediately.
No, this is like this. I brought this up a few months ago when we were talking about Lakers and trades and all that. This is Michael Thompson and Victor Brick saying that when the Lakers get Kevin Garnett and they trade away Andrew Bynum based off of like one unsubstantiated rumor, and they did 3 hours taking calls saying, wow, watch when KG gets here. Things are going to be so different. What happened then, Fred?
Well, you know what? Those guys ran with something that wasn't true. I'm going with the truth because I talk to people too.
Okay.
And those people told me we're going in the right direction. All we needed to do was make one call, Kevin. One. And that call was made.
Okay, but nothing was finalized from said call.
Yeah, but we talked to the right person.
We did talk to the right person. I will say that.
It's going
to
happen. Everybody get ready.
More likely than not, yes, it'll happen.
Okay, good. So I wanted everybody to know. Now, let's go. Julius Randle tonight. Knicks, Lakers. LeBron's supposed to play. He's listed as out. That doesn't really mean anything yet because he could be in. He looked great at practice yesterday. No problem cutting. No problem moving. But, Rodney, with Julius Randle in town, it got me to thinking.
Yes?
Look at the guys that were Lakers that went on to become pretty good players. Julius Randle, for example. That's a guy they could have held on to. They got him when he was young. They had to make a decision. He wasn't a star, and they let him go, and now he's turned into this. Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram, obviously, in the AD deal, people thought he'd be good. He's an all-star. Even my buddy Lonzo Ball. He was terrible here. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not sugarcoat it. He was bad. And some of that was the expectation that people placed on him. He's grown. He's developed. He's in New Orleans. You know what? He's a pretty good NBA guard. Pretty good guy now. Better shooter, more confident. He was just young when he was here. And in the NBA, what happens is you get these guys that are young, and then you have to make a decision. Am I going to pay him or let him go? More often than not, I think when you let them go, they're finally mature enough to develop into the player you hope they would. And that tells me that the NBA is really, really a tough place to try what Oklahoma City's going to do. Build through the draft, take your time, we'll develop, these guys will be great. It doesn't time out like that. The NBA is win now. That's really what this league is. It's win now. And if you don't win now, you're rebuilding. You can't be in the middle. If you're in the middle, you're nowhere. If you're at the bottom, you get a good draft pick. But if you get a good draft pick, then it's going to take years to develop, and you might even lose that guy.
You know who loses in that whole scenario? The losers in that, that's build it a mall back up through the draft and young players and all that. The head coach at the time.
That's Byron because Scott.
Byron Scott. You think of the 76ers, the process, right? The process. Well, the process is getting pretty good now, and they got a new coach. And Doc is doing great there, but if you're a part of the, you know, the process, oftentimes that head coach doesn't get to stay there to live the results of that process.
Yeah, so because it's once tough. You get them to a point,
yeah.
Now you bring somebody in that can close the deal.
Yeah.
And the coach is gone. Byron Scott. When Byron Scott took the job in Kobe's final years, the Lakers were not going to be very good. Mitch Kupchak knew that, so did Jim Buss. And Byron Scott had a conversation with him. And they said to Byron Scott, you know, we're not going to be very good. We're not going to be very good for a couple of years here. Are you okay with that? And Byron looked at him and said, well, are you okay with that?
Right.
Are you all right with that? They went, yeah, we understand. He said, okay, I'll take the job. Then, of course, they fired him. Because apparently they weren't that okay with that.
Exactly.
Being bad for a couple of years. But you've got to win in the NBA, and you've got to win now. So the Lakers are doing it right. They did push all the chips in the middle. They got LeBron. They went out and got AD. We're going to fill out the rest, and here we go. I'll give the Clippers credit. Steve Ballmer, Lawrence Frank, Jerry West, Michael Winger, the guys there, they made a decision. We got to be relevant. We got to go for it. We'll get Kawhi. We'll get Paul George. We'll fill in the rest. Give them credit. If you're not going for it every year, you're immediately a loser. You're a loser because that's how the NBA works. You've got to go for it. And as you watch,
not everybody can go for it every year, Fred. I wouldn't say they're a loser. There's got to be a plan, a short-term plan. This plan of, okay, 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, we're going to be pretty good. That doesn't work. But you can't say somebody that doesn't go for it every single year because there's a lot of different factors involved. There's salary cap. There's guys' contracts. There's all different types of things that get in the way of going for it every single year or going for it this year. There should be a moment within a 2 or 3 year span that a team is ready to go for it, yes. But to say that if you're not going for it, you're a loser because there are different circumstances. Would you consider Golden State not going for it anymore?
No, they're going. I mean, they're doing what they can to go for it. They are.
Are they?
Well, sure they are. I mean, they signed Klay Thompson. Nobody thought he'd get hurt twice. You know, nobody thought Steph Curry would get hurt last year. Nobody thought that, but they went for it.
But they're buying their time until Klay comes back.
Well, they are.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
but now
they got
no
Wiggins
choice.
Who's, you know, but they didn't say, okay, we're going to go like gangbusters in free agency at the trade deadline or anything like that. So that would suggest that they weren't really considered, we're not going for it this year. We're not going to win a title. So we're going to be pretty good. But when we get Klay back and then we add another piece, that's when we go for it. But they're not, I wouldn't consider them going for it.
Yeah, but
this year.
I'm even surprised, quite frankly, and the Lakers may see them in the play-in game. I'm surprised they were even there. I mean, they should have been god-awful.
Yeah.
And here they are. And with
you know,
the way
a team
Steph
I'm,
is playing, they're pretty good.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're very dangerous. Because he can go for 60 at any time and put you in a bind. The one team, and they tried it for a minute, I think, but I don't think they were all in. The one team I think I would look at and it pops in the front of my mind of why they aren't really going for it, is Portland. With Portland, with what they have in their backcourt, and I know, you know, they brought in an aging Melo, and they had a nice run. When they had that nice run in the postseason, got to the Western Conference Finals, lost, it felt like, okay, now let's go for it. And I don't think they really – I mean, they added some couple pieces, but they didn't really go for it, right, and go get that superstar, that top five, top six guy to help Damian Lillard out. So I look at them as a team that, man, they might have missed their window. Even though they're still pretty good and those guys are good, their window is right now for them to just go for it.
Isn't that the talk of when it haves and have-nots and how your market size yep. or your franchise is different? Like LeBron James decided to come here to the Lakers. I'm sure Magic had a lot to do with that. There was a belief that he was going to come regardless. I don't know if I believe that or not, but he definitely targeted this as a destination once his time in Cleveland was going to be up. And as a result of that, you end up getting Anthony Davis here. That situation is not going to play itself out in Denver or in Portland. Portland's problem is like they're what you don't want to be. You say this all the time, Fred. You either want to be great or terrible, but nowhere in between. And they've been in between for the last 6 or 7 years. They need to trade away one of their principal figures and bring in someone who offers something different than CJ or Damian Lillard. They're trying to fill in around the margins. And when you do that, you're mediocre and maybe you win a playoff series once or twice here and there, but you really don't go anywhere. And so
let me ask you this though. You know, I know that, and I agree with you. I think they fill in around the pieces. You know, they had Whiteside 1 year, they brought in Melo. They try all, but they gave away LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, so they lost him. So imagine if he's still there with those three guys and had played with them for the last 3 years instead of moving around to San Antonio and other places. But if they had gotten Kevin Durant to say, okay, I'm going to Portland to play with CJ and Dame, that changes the game for Portland.
Mm-hmm. 100%. The problem is someone like KD would have to voluntarily decide, I want to play in Portland. As opposed to, I want to go to Brooklyn, which is, in a sense, New York. And so that's where the haves and have-nots in the NBA, maybe even more so than any other sport, for different reasons in baseball, when you look at the Yankees and the Dodgers and payrolls and all that, but it makes such a difference in the NBA when you have marquee franchises in big markets who are able to draw in major players.
Right, but I would say, you know, maybe counter that until you know, Steph kind of got into his own and Clay got there and stuff. Golden State wasn't necessarily a destination place.
No, and that's where finding the right star is so important too.
Yeah.
A more extreme example is San Antonio. The fact that Tim Duncan decided to stay there and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili got there and decided to stay there. That just doesn't happen. Giannis is staying in Milwaukee at least for now. So, I mean, it's very rare nowadays that superstar players decide to stay in places like that. And sometimes they're a big enough draw and other times they're not. LeBron James, the only reason he left Cleveland the first time is because he couldn't get anybody to play with him.
Right.
He recruited Chris Bosh to join him there, and he said, I'm not going to Cleveland. So then they decided to link up with D-Wade in Miami because it was a better destination for them. So it varies. I think being able to draft the right type of player, maintain that player, and then bringing other people in, I think does make a bit of a difference.
And also, your Portland example. Okay, Kevin, we'll use a Miami example as well. Or Cleveland. No, not Cleveland. Miami or Portland. Portland, you know, that's the game in town.
Mm-hmm.
That is the game in town. And people are thrilled to have the game in town. They're thrilled to have the NBA. So sure, they want the team to win, but the expectation is different. Because in Los Angeles, to be relevant, you have to win. You have no choice. In Portland, you are relevant by virtue of the fact you're there. In Miami, now they have football and baseball as well, but they're relevant. The Heat are relevant. So in markets where you have to win to be
when they're winning. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but still the Heat are relevant. The Heat are relevant in Miami and the Blazers are relevant in Portland. You don't win here, you're not relevant. It doesn't matter how many people walk around and go, I'm a fan of whatever team. If they're not winning, they're
into a Heat game when they're terrible.
Yeah. Same with
the Dolphins.
Yeah, a Heat game looks a lot like a Marlins game if they're 20 games under 500, you know, 50 games into the season.
Well, fortunately, they haven't been that for a while.
Fortunately for them, yes.
Yeah, to counter your point, that Portland, it'll be full whether they're, you know, leading the West or not.
They're sold out.
Yeah. That's a little bit different than Miami, I think.
Okay. But your goal is still to win as an organization, too, if you're Portland. I don't think Portland is content. Yeah, you're right, Rodney, you hope. I know they're just content with saying, well, we got bodies through the turnstiles. We're making money. We're cool.
Oh, no. There are owners that are very content in saying that.
Oh, Kevin. There are. I just don't believe that. At least it was Paul Allen. I don't know who is now.
Yeah.
That's. I don't believe that's their mentality. But you're right, Brett. There are some. We had one here for the longest time with Donald Sterling, who was content with making money.
Rodney played for the Lions. He'll tell you.
Yeah. Right.
100%.
Yeah. So I just think in big markets, you got to go for it. You got to go now. You got to go for it all the time. You got to figure it out. That's part of your responsibility of being in a big market.
But also, I guess that's the roulette game that you play because you brought this up last week, Fred, when LeBron got hurt again and Anthony Davis wasn't playing well and maybe he had some residuals from being banged up. It's like, all right, you lock these guys in for the next 4 years. They get injured. You only have one championship to show for it. What are you doing? And it's like, I mean, first of all, you got a championship, so most people will take that. And then two, even if they hadn't won, you do it 10 times out of 10 because that's the only way you have a legitimate shot of winning. Even if you had Julius Randle, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram was still here, throw in Larry Nance Jr., D'Angelo, you might have a really solid, exciting, young team, but they're not competing for a championship.
Right.
Yeah. And to your point on that, Kevin, you know, you got these guys, and you said it, Fred, lock them in, and you would hope, and yes, they delivered a championship, but after 4 years, if it's only one, it leaves you kind of empty, doesn't it? Like, if you ask the folks in Miami, they're happy with those 4 years. They got two titles out of that trio down there, but there's still some hunger in the stomach, right? They still feel like I'm not full. I didn't eat my whole meal, you know, because I was expecting three, four champs, like they talked about at their press conference, right?
Not two, not three, not four.
Yeah, but you know, even though they did win two, it felt like they missed the mark a little bit. They didn't get to their full potential.
So in big markets, that doesn't really work. Example, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Dodgers win the division. They win the division. They win the division. That's a pretty good accomplishment. What do the fans say? What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
When are you going to win a World Series? They won the World Series. What are the fans saying? What's wrong with them?
They just fire Dave Roberts.
Yeah, fire Dave Roberts. They just won. Dave Roberts himself admitted afterwards, you got to win to be relevant. Sean McVay has said, you got to win to be relevant here. You've got to win. Look at the Chargers. Chargers are a good little team. They are. I mean, you can't take that away from them. And they've got a very good quarterback. They haven't won.
Yeah.
They're not relevant. If they win, they'll be relevant. That's just the Clippers. They have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They put together a very good squad. They haven't won. You don't get a banner for winning the Western Conference. You don't hang that at Staples Center or in the new arena in Inglewood. That banner is NBA champion. Until you get one of those, in this city, it's hard to be relevant. Look at the Angels. Yeah. They draw a lot of fans. They're a good club. People love the Angels in Orange County. And I'll be honest, I've watched some of their games. They're fun to watch. And Kevin's a huge fan. What have you done for me lately?
That's a perfect example of an organization that has tried to go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've tried to go for it. But they have missed the mark on, I guess, where they've attempted to go for it.
Right,
but you know, like you said, they've never had pitching that they really needed. They've had superstars come through here, and you know, from Pujols to, I mean, you can name it, and have, you know, the best player in baseball playing with them for a number of years, and they've tried Rendon and all that. You know, they've tried over the years to go for Josh Hamilton. At that time, I think many people would say, "Watch out for the Angels,"
yeah,
because he was the hottest hitter in baseball for a few years. It didn't work out. So, it's a hit or miss sometimes because I can't fault them for not trying to go for it.
Artie Moreno was roundly criticized. I think the only thing to criticize him for was turning him into the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That was absurd. Yeah. But if you want to sit here and say this guy didn't go for it, no, he's gone for it many times. He has spent money.
Just not wisely, I think, is the issue that people have.
Yeah,
we know what his intent is.
Right, so at least he went for it.
Yes, which is more than we can say for some other owners.
Right.
Correct.
Yes. At least he's going for it. So when you see Julius Randle against the Lakers tonight, and he'll probably play well, and he's had an outstanding season, and when you sit there and go, damn, how did we let him go? How did you let him walk out of here? The reason they let him go is because they made a decision to go for it. And sometimes when you go for it, you're going to give up on guys too soon. But I give the Lakers credit because they did decide to go for it. All right. Well, the Dodgers have gone for it. Jorge Castillo will join us next. We'll see after he'll go after them.
I got this song on my heart too, Freddie. Let's go. Rodney P. Fred Rogan on a Taco Tuesday. It is a Taco Tuesday.
Speaking of Taco Tuesday, just got word officially LeBron is out tonight. He was out.
Yes.
Then there was talk that he looked great at practice and he was going to play.
Yeah, but the Lakers had already officially ruled him out. But I know Adrian Wojnarowski initially yesterday said that, oh, he plans on playing tomorrow. And then Woj tweeted about 5 minutes ago saying, LeBron's likely going to give it another night of rest. Not going to play tonight. Going to play against Houston tomorrow.
Okay, so that's that. No LeBron.
That's good.
All right.
That's good.
Won't be easy for the Lakers, but at this point, really, you know, I'm figuring they're in the play-in tournament. So give them another night of rest. Okay, Dodgers take on Seattle tonight at the stadium. Now Jorge Castillo, our buddy from the Times, joins us. Jorge, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. Okay. Well, why don't you just, in about two or three words, sum up the state of the team?
Not great. Not good. Very bad. It depends on, I guess it depends on how you view the, you know, if you're viewing it as like sort of in the moment, or you're looking, taking a long view on it. But I think the guys, even the players on the team, are kind of, they're done taking a long view on it. We heard over the weekend Clayton Kershaw say it's time to fix it now. We heard Mookie Betts say that the week before. It's a 162 game season, but at some point you got to start winning games again.
Yeah, you do. And we've seen, you know, the Dodgers have a slide. A few years ago, they had that crazy August where they lost a number of games in a row and ended up going to the World Series still. Is this feel any different, or is this any different, this slide, this slump that the Dodgers are in right now?
Yeah, I would also add, in 18, they still were 16-26 in May. Remember that? So and they ended up going too. So this team is not immune to these kind of problems. I think we just kind of, everyone's just kind of been spoiled by the fact they, what they did in 19, winning the franchise record amount of games. I think it was like 106. And then last year, doing what they did, kind of stampeding through everybody to go to the World Series. You know, this is just, to me, at the end of the day, this boils down to the offense. I know a lot of people are kind of talking about the bullpen. Defensively, things can get ugly, but you can kind of paper through over all those concerns, all those problems, if you're hitting more. This team has lost a bunch of one-run games, a bunch of extra inning games, a bunch of times in which, you know, guys like Mookie Betts, you know, we have the bases loaded late in the game, is not coming through, or, you know, the different guys across the board, just, you know, the only guys who have really been hitting are, you know, over the stretch, Justin Turner, A.J. Pollock, who's been hurt now, and Matt Beatty. I mean, there haven't been too many guys hitting. And that, to me, boils down to the offense. And if you want to narrow it down a little further, it's Mookie Betts and Corey Seager. Once they get going, I think this team will turn things around.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've said it all along. They can't hit. And if you can't hit, you're not going to win. It's put strain and stress on the pitching staff. The bullpen, which is expected to do well, has got to be almost perfect. Can you put your finger on what the problem is? Are these guys pressing, Jorge? What is it?
Well, I think you do have to look at the fact that, you know, they don't have Cody Bellinger right now. I think that's big. I mean, I don't think it should mean that the team is doing what it's doing now. You know, Zach McKinstry got off to a hot start, but that was like a plus. You know, you didn't expect Zach McKinstry to be that good. I think what's happening is, you know, early on in this sort of skid, if you remember going back to Seattle, you know, the early losses to the Padres, you know, there was some, you know, some bad luck in there. Dylan Moore made a couple really nice plays for Seattle. Manny Machado made a couple plays at third base, you know, that to take away some hits, to score some runs. And I think it's kind of just been snowballing. You know, it starts with one guy kind of struggling, then it becomes two, then it becomes three, and all of a sudden it's like six, seven guys you are hitting. And, you know, I think we are seeing guys press, you know, especially on that road trip, you know, in Milwaukee and Chicago, guys frustrated at themselves, guys frustrated at the umpires, even though the balls were over the plate for strikes, you know, they're being caught looking. We see a lot of Max Muncy frustrated, Mookie Betts, saw even Will Smith frustrated on a pop fly that ended up being a double the other day. Guys are frustrated, and they should be. I mean, they're losing way more than they thought they ever would over, you know, a 20-game stretch. So I do think guys are pressing. But, you know, it's only a matter of time, in my opinion, before they turn it around.
Hey, Jorge, I want to get your take, because we talked about it yesterday after the Angels series, and in one of those games, the one the Dodgers were blowing them out 13-0 at the time, and they bunt. And then after the game, Clayton Kershaw is upset and Dave Roberts is upset, and it created a whole Twitter firestorm afterwards, and the game ended up being close in the end. What's your take on the kind of the Dodgers' response to the bunt in the fifth inning when they're up by so many?
I mean, I don't think they should really be worried about that kind of stuff right now. You know, worried about your side of things. You know, I understand that some unwritten rules or whatever. I don't know. Just if the guy wanted to bunt, he bunted. It is what it is. I don't get the whole being upset about it type of thing. It's not a baseball play type of thing or whatever. It ended up being a play that might have hurt the Angels in the end, considering what happened.
Yeah.
I'm just not for that. I'm just like, whatever, man. It wasn't a no hit. Like, you know, if it was like a big deal, like an eighth inning of a no hitter or something or whatever, yeah. But like in this instance, I don't see the point.
Yeah. Jorge Castillo of the Times with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570, LA Sports. Jorge, what's it take to just to bust out of this? I mean, I thought when they had that 13-0 lead, okay, it was over, and they were back. Then, of course, we saw the result. What's it take for them just to explode out of this thing, or does it have to be gradual?
It's gradual. I mean, we've seen them explode three different times. They beat the Reds 8-0. They headed to Milwaukee and lost, and then that three games in a row. Then they scored 16 runs against the Brewers. You know, that 13-0 lead against the Angels that they almost squandered. It's not going to take one day. It's going to take every single day these guys coming through with, you know, men in scoring position, guys on base, kind of, you know, putting up crooked numbers a few innings in a row, you know, winning a game 7-4 or 6-2 or, you know, like a normal game. these games that, they've been winning, the few that they have been winning have been kind of crazy, right? 16-4, 8-0, the 14-11. You know, it's all been really kind of just weird that they haven't had like a routine win. They need some like routine wins here. It needs to be gradual. They need to get going, things going, and not necessarily all exploding in one day. Just kind of sustaining it over the course of a few days.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but I also agree that I think we will see dramatic changes once Mookie Betts gets going. I think he is the catalyst that will get them all going, and the fact that he struggled kind of almost sets the tone for the rest of the team. I just think when he gets going, all of this is kind of going to start to snowball in the Dodgers' favor.
I agree 100%. And you know what happens when Mookie Betts gets on base? Someone's on base for Corey Seager, which means, you know, the starting pitcher, whoever it is working out of the stretch, which means the guy might have to throw a few more fastballs to keep Mookie Betts on his own, you know, at first base or second base, wherever he is. And that it's kind of a snowball effect. And we saw it last year happen, especially in October when those guys were going, this offense got going, and it just puts pressure on the other team. You know, people kind of, I think, underestimate the fact that when you have people on base, that is pressure on the pitcher. He has to think about that. It's tight spots, and, you know, mistakes are made. Fielders make mistakes. You have to put pressure on these teams instead of walking and striking out as much as these guys have been. They need to put the ball in play a little more, put pressure on their team, get guys on base. And then also when they get those guys on base, come through. And they haven't been doing that.
Jorge, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate it. Good stuff.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, Jorge Castillo from the Times. I'll tell you, Rodney, I love reading his stuff. I think he's a star.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He does a terrific job. Love having him on the show. Next hour, Ryan Hollins played for the Clippers, played in the NBA. You know Ryan very, very well. We'll get more into the Lakers and what's going on in the NBA. By the way, we really didn't touch on this. I want to do it quickly, Rodney. Russell Westbrook sets the mark for triple-doubles.
Yes.
And, you know, I made the comment earlier. That's great. No, he's a local guy. Got a good heart, too. And fun to watch. Exciting. Does so many things and really brings people to the edge of their seats. I just don't want that guy on my team. I don't think he wins a title.
You don't want him on your team because
I don't think he wins a title. I think it's all him.
Well, team twin titles, Fred. Why don't you want him specifically on your team?
Because I think what he does in the regular season is incredible. But I think when you get down to playoff time, if it's all about him, he's not enough to win it for you. That's it. And I mean,
See, that's the thing I don't understand when people say it's all about him. When you look at what he does, and people have diminished the triple double, obviously, since he's gotten the record and done it so often now. But when you say it's all about him, I'm confused because part of the triple double
is assist.
Is assist, and he's getting other people involved. Also, part of the triple double is rebounds. So he is participating in the team aspect. He's giving you rebounds every single, double-digit rebounds. He's giving you double-digit assist. So when you say it's all about him. I'm confused by that. Because so I don't think it's all about him. I just think that situational wise, he's not always been. He doesn't have the support like he had in OKC with Durant and Harden when they were there, and he hasn't had that. And sometimes to put it all on him, I think is a little bit unfair, because I would want him on my team every single day and twice on Sundays, because I know what I'm going to get every single night. He's going to give me 100%.
Yep.
And he is going to take no prisoners. I would take him in a back alley with me every day. He is that guy you want on your team and in your locker room. When you say he won't bring you a championship, I think it's, you can say that about a lot of guys until they get to the right situation.
Well, yeah. Does that situation exist? That's really the question. Yeah, I'd want him in the back alley with me too. Don't get me wrong. I just wouldn't want him playing for me in the playoffs. All right, Ryan Hollins next hour. 2 o'clock hour, NBA insider Bill Orem will jump on the show.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Sometimes I just can't take it. Sometimes I just can't take it, and it isn't all right. I'm not going to make it. And I think my shoes are tight. I'm like a broken
Hey. Afternoon Delight is Higher Power by Coldplay. The band released this track last weekend and is set to appear on their upcoming 9th studio album, which will be released this year. In a recent interview, frontman Chris Martin said that the song is about trying to find the astronaut in all of us. Each person can do amazing things. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Higher Power by Coldplay.
All right.
And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob Imrani.
All right, let's bring on a proud partner of the Lakers and LAFC, our good friend Jacob Imrani. Jacob, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Fred. Good afternoon, Rodney. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Jacob. Okay, well, now LeBron is not playing tonight, and the Lakers...
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah, he's not going to play. But, I mean, realistically, I'm assuming they're going to be in a play-in game anyway. What do you think?
Well, listen, I mean, I was at the game on Sunday night, and I got to tell you that was one of the most exciting games of the year, because they actually played well from the moment the ball was thrown up all the way to the end. I mean, they had some lapses where they allowed, you know, that left-handed guard for Phoenix to get into the paint too often. He went on an 8-0. Run himself, but it was a good game. And the best part of that game against Phoenix was that Anthony Davis is beginning to look more and more like himself. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, as Laker fans, when we sit back, we want to try to decide, I mean, is the seventh seed really that bad? Because you get Phoenix, which is a team that's not really experienced in the playoffs. They haven't really played much together. And besides, you know, Chris Paul, they really don't have a lot of guys who can probably, you know, play in high-pressured situation versus, you know, they still have a chance to get into the sixth, and then you get the Clippers, who always get up for the Lakers. So, you know, I think right now, strategically, I think the Lakers are looking at that as well. I think part of the reason that they're not bringing LeBron back tonight is they don't want to rush him in, because I think, obviously, a very healthy Laker team can be just about, anybody in a seven-game series. We shall see how it all plays itself out.
Yeah, and at this point, trying to jockey and figure out where you're going to land, we're past that point. It is about, as you mentioned, making sure LeBron is healthy as possible, getting AD, you know, some more minutes, and he's played well. He played well on Sunday, so, you know, hopefully that's the AD we see going forward. But whoever they play, it doesn't matter at this point, because they're going to have to go through a tough West in order to win it again anyway.
Yeah, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you want to be able to make sure that, you know, this team can get some minutes together. I mean, let's not forget, you know, we haven't had, Schroeder now for God knows how many games. I mean, he's your important guy. He's the guy who can make, you know, who can bring 18 to 21 points a game. So, you know, what I'm most interested in is how quickly Schroeder gets back, how LeBron feels, and how he can, you know, basically, pressure off that ankle when he's making his cuts. And, you know, making sure that they get enough games in order to be able to get LeBron his legs back. I mean, we saw it's taken, five, six games for AD to begin to look like himself. So I think ultimately at the end of the day, health is the most important part of it. And until the last day, you know, those positions are going to end up changing. But, you know, the only thing I don't like about the playing game is because it just takes, you know, a couple of bad calls or a hot team to make a difference. But sitting at seventh, you are going to get two shots at it anyways. And I think you'll be fine. I think ultimately at the end of the day, you just need to be healthy.
Our buddy Jacob, I'm Ronnie with us. Jacob, when you come on every week, and we love doing this for our listeners, and they love it as well, because you are the best at what you do in town. We ask you a question just about what you do. And I know recently you love helping first responders. You get a lot of people that call you and ask for help, and you're there for them. And recently you had a case settlement for a local first responder. What happened there?
I did. Actually, this is the second case we settled for a local first responder. And this one's a lot different. This is not really about how much money we got her. It's really more about how we got that money for her. You know, she's a nurse who has been, you know, helping and really being on the front lines in a very dangerous way for the past year. She was involved, you know, in a bad accident about 9 months ago, but because of everything going COVID related, she really couldn't see didn't go to a lot of doctors because most of her time was being spent caring for others. So basically, you know, what we had to do is really strategize towards her injuries rather than her treatment, and not a lot of medical treatment, but she did have some real injuries. And what I'm proud of is that our team fought without even her getting a surgery, even though she needs it, to get her credit for that surgery, which doesn't happen very often. And we were able to settle her case, you know, in the mid six figures, which is a lot of money for a case where somebody doesn't have surgery, and she gets to use the money for the future to get her surgery on her own time. And, you know, that felt good because she was very emotional through the process. It was trying to decide whether she wants to go to the doctor to make herself feel better or being in the ER helping others, and she chose to help others, and at the end of the day, we were able to help her. So we felt really good about that.
That is fantastic. That is just
yes,
incredible.
Yes, absolutely. Love it.
Anybody's got a problem, Jacob. We said it all the time. Your guys are there 24/7. Somebody calls you, and somebody picked up the phone, right?
We're always here. If my team doesn't pick it up, you get a chance to talk to me. So we're always here for you.
Okay, the man is Jacob Imrani. He's a proud partner of the Lakers and LAFC and the very best attorney in town. He's our attorney, and he should be yours. Always a pleasure, Jacob. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care of yourself.